We're hot. I'll call the property meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Roll call, Director Sheldon.
Present.
Director Meeks. Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Mezqua. Director Nguyen. Director Tran. Director Wiegand.
Here.
Director Green. You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you. Bruce, are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Thank you. Our next item on the agenda is visitor participation, known as public comments. Any member of the public that would like to speak? Do we have any hands in the public?
No.
All right. Let's go to our next item. I believe it's a consent. Is there a motion on consent or any items that directors would like to discuss or pull?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to discuss item two, please.
Okay, well, we'll do that. I guess so, maybe. So I guess we'll just hold the whole thing and then it's a minute. So is there a question or would you like a staff report on this, Dennis?
I have a question, sir.
Yes.
I've looked through the report and I'm very happy with the outcome. This is a agreement to settle a little bit of a dispute over a drainage issue in Villa Park that's draining into one of our basins in terms of some corrective actions need to be taken on a slope and then who's going to maintain it afterwards. I think it's favorable to the district. But something in the report caught my eye. It said that at district staff's direction, legal counsel went out and negotiated an agreement with the city of Villa Park. And I was sort of surprised to read that because typically our legal counsel will only take direction from the board into going and negotiating deals with third parties. And I just wanted to make sure that we're not getting, we're going crazy here and our legal counsel is going to start negotiating agreements with third parties without board direction. Can I get a little bit of feedback on that, please?
Yes, and actually, staff didn't direct legal counsel. Staff requested, and I think I'm going to turn that over to Jeremy because Bill Park's legal counsel is also Rattan, and I think that there was some discussion with between legal counsels for the agreement.
Yeah, we had to get a conflict waiver in order to be able to do it. And it was, I don't know if there was ever board direction or not, but I think that's something we could.
Did you get a conflict waiver from us, Jeremy?
I did not, no. But I certainly
Maybe,
can in the future. But
do you think maybe you need one?
well, it depends on whether the board has delegated that role to the general manager or not. So if that's certainly something we can do better on in the future, Director Villanova.
Yeah, and I'm not upset because it's a good outcome. It's just I just want to make sure we don't, the wheels don't come off the bus here and. This probably should have come to the board. You were negotiating with the third party, a city in this case. You probably should have, maybe we could add a closed session or something, but I just want to make sure we don't go too far awry of what we should be doing. That's all. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to move the item, move items one and two.
Second?
I'll second that.
Please take the vote.
Roll call, Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Meeks.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. We'll move on to matters for consideration. And is there a reporter on our next item?
Yes, I have a staff report. Let me pull up an aerial here on the screen. So the committee may recall that the district had started a decertification process. Oh, this is the wrong. Sorry about that. Wrong slide here. Thank you for bearing with me on that. The district has a decertification request with Caltrans for about a 1.3 acre piece of property that leaves in the southerly portion of Burr's Basin, where the Islands Golf is located. And zooming in a little bit,
This is the Islands Golf area here in their parking lot. This is where the driving range is along along the basin. And Caltrans owns a portion of the property that goes into the basin, into what for decades the district believed was district property and leased out to the Islands Golf. Back in 2017, district staff, and when reviewing the boundaries, came across this boundary showing Caltrans property going into the basin. And since then, we've entered into a an application to decertify that with Caltrans. Decertification is when the Caltrans will review a property and determine whether they need it for future purposes or not. And if they don't, they'll make it available for sale. It would be in the district's benefit to acquire that property. And since there are no adjacent landowners other than the district, they would most likely turn around and sell it to the district. In the meantime, we've had a rental agreement with Caltrans, an aerial rental agreement that was effective up until recently, where we've entered into a 3-year, a little longer term rental agreement with Caltrans for that piece of land. More over the years, which it's been about 6 years now, we've been going through this with Caltrans. I've written a number of letters that are also included in your board packet, a number of letters to various Caltrans District 12 directors, asking them to consider the decertification of the property. At one point, Caltrans was discussing decertifying up to a certain boundary line that would not really work for the district. But in the end now, after a little bit of pushing and a new district director, Caltrans came back with a letter to us saying that they were going to stop the decertification process, not continue it further, because Caltrans will need to expand that on-ramp. This is the eastbound on-ramp to the 57 freeway. I reviewed several documents. I reviewed the Caltrans 10-year long-term plan. They have no projects on the freeway there. I've reviewed the OCTA long-term plans, and there are no projects including about that on-ramp in their long-term plan. I've also met with staff in the city of Anaheim, Rudy Amami, who's the public works director, and David Kennedy, who's a traffic engineer. We had a meeting with them months ago, who advised me that due to the OC Vibe project that's happening southerly of this basin, that there are no changes to that on-ramp. And they'd be happy to meet with Caltrans with me. But Caltrans has come back and said that they need that. They see a 2% per year increase in traffic flow on that, and that they anticipate having to widen that at some point, and that they will no longer consider the decertification. So I'm bringing that back to the committee for direction. At this point, I've requested a meeting to discuss it, and it's still difficult to try to get a meeting with Caltrans. And that concludes my presentation.
Any questions for staff?
Kind of wondering who makes a decision for Caltrans on something like this. It seems like a real back and forth here.
So my understanding in this process, from having been involved in this process, the local right-of-way folks, although it gets cleared by the director, but it goes up to Caltrans Planning in Sacramento. Then it comes back from Planning in Sacramento, and they advise whether or not it can be. And of course, Director Yeo would tell me if I'm wrong here, I think. But
generally, you're correct, Bruce. You know, typically the district would send this request around the different departments. And my understanding is that in this case, someone from the traffic operations division felt, okay, that, hey, we might need this in the future. And as Bruce indicated, that he did his due diligence, he checked the 10-year, what we call State Highway Operation and Protection Program. Those are the fix-it-first type of projects, whether there's any scheduled work for the ramp. There was none. an OCTA would involve with widening type of project, there is none. And OC Vibes environmental document indicated that that area will remain the same because there's no traffic impact. And so with all that information, you know, should have compelled Caltrans to make a decision to, you know, at least maybe work with us to decertify portions of that, if not all of it. Unfortunately, the district director that sent the official letter, she's relatively new and she probably didn't have all the detail. Unfortunately, a decision was made very quickly and the letter was sent to us that we did not have an opportunity to engage with her to have a greater conversation. So I guess, Bruce, you're asking us, should we continue? Or I guess the other option you and I had discussed is whatever Caltrans is charging us for rent, we'll kind of just pass it on to the lessee. So that's where we're at, right?
Correct. I'm looking for direction. Staff's looking for direction on this. So as far as the lessee, we've got a three-year agreement with the lessee. So either when that comes up for renewal or amendment, we could add the rent to it. Or if the lessee asks for something where we amend the agreement, we could negotiate that rent back in. But right now, I don't think we can do that.
It's only been 6 years, so we're still on the fast right. track.
Yeah. I have requested, though, a meeting along with the Imperial Highway, which is the next item, but a meeting. I still want a meeting with Caltrans to discuss this. So I'm not.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
So Director Meeks and I serve on the toll road board together, and the director yes. Caltrans is always sitting there at the dais with us. And I think that her and I could probably impress upon the new director of District 12 for a meeting. I'd volunteer Natalie to be the lead because she's more charming than I am. And
it's smart. And
yeah, exactly. I could never get an interview to be the director of public works, although I've tried at various cities. But that being said, I think that Natalie and I could probably approach her at our next TCA meeting, which is probably in about 30 days. And I'm sure that we can arrange to get a meeting with her, with Bruce, and make our presentation to her. And maybe we can make some headway. That's what I would suggest we do.
Thank you. Since you volunteered, Dennis, you were talking about Lanzo, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I was going to call her, but it's okay. Thank you. You do it.
Hey, you can call. But we can talk to her at the next meeting. Let me just kind of make sure as we approach her and, you know, the district, Water District, wants to purchase this piece of property or at least the piece within the driving range area. If they want to, Caltrans wants to retain the piece that is the slope, we're okay with that, right?
The slope being towards the on-ramp. Yes, correct.
Yeah, because they do have kind of, it's just kind of that pinch point there near the off-ramp.
That's correct, Director Meeks.
And then our need for this property is long-term water use, or does the district have some plan? I just want to be upfront about it. I don't want to like negotiate some purchase of this for, you know, 10 cents an acre and flip this site and try to sell it because we don't need it anymore for 50 cents an acre, you know.
Clearly. Nothing wrong with that?
Correct. Well, I think we need to be upfront with Caltrans about why we're buying it. Are we buying it to flip it?
Well, you can see there's a big, large portion that's actually in the basin.
Yes.
Here, right. So there's a large portion that's in the basin. So, so that's one reason why we should acquire this property. But then where the driving range actually is, that's also like a maintenance road that can go around the basin. So if there's any work that had to be done here, this would be used as a maintenance road or maintenance area. So those are the reasons why the district should acquire that piece of property.
Okay. I just want to be honest about why we're acquiring it. If we need it and want it for water operations, I think that's important. I think it outweighs whatever purpose Caltrans has for it right now. So yeah, I would.
And I think there's one other important piece, Natalie, that I'm not sure you're aware. So we've been encroaching on that parcel for over 30 years with that pad for the driving range.
Mm-hmm.
And we discovered this ourselves about 5 years ago because we did a title search in preparation of releasing it to a new party. And then we went to Caltrans ourselves to tell on ourselves, hey, we're
Which
really
was
sorry,
against my advice.
We're really sorry. We figured out we're encroaching on your property. And nobody knew that. Nobody knew that for, you know, for forever. Nobody realized that. So we went voluntarily and told on ourselves. And then initially Caltrans, when we said we wanted to buy it, they said no. And then we said they wanted to lease it. They wanted to give us some huge lease rate based on some crazy economic value,
based on auto
dealerships. And we were like, hey, that's crazy. And then I think Ryan Chamberlain might have intervened, and then they got reasonable. And we are paying lease rate on it, on the encroachment, because we told on ourselves, because we're the government, we're good people. So so we do have kind of a clean hands fact pattern that we went to them. So that's all. Thanks. Okay.
All right. Well, we can talk to her and see if we can move that piece forward.
If you had two,
I think
you had at least one, two normal. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say that I think I'm optimistic that we can get a meeting with Lanzo, and we can try to brief her the history of what took place. And my understanding that the staff that made that statement, like I said, he felt that, you know, we might need it in the future. I said, what basis? I actually spoke with him, and I said that your statement is as if Roger Yo saying that if I don't die tomorrow, I might live to 120.
Huh.
So so it's baseless. So I think that's focus on getting a meeting with Izzo and then explain to her the facts, and hopefully we can come to a mutually beneficial conclusion on this.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, of course.
If I'm not incorrect, if they did sell this to OCWD, and in the future they needed the space, they could merely eminent domain it, right?
They didn't want to do that.
We
might need it, and so if we give it away now, 10 cents on the dollar, we might have to buy it back a dollar later. But, you know, again, going back to Bruce really did his due diligence. He checked three separate documents that may cause Caltrans to want to retain this property, and then there's really no evidence that they need it in a foreseeable future. And so I can understand the concern that, well, you know, they want to whiten, they want to do something with the least expensive option. So maybe, yeah, hopefully we can work something out so we're not taking the entire property. Something that they can retain and for potential future use, and we can clear this title issue here.
Yeah. Maybe we could purchase it with an offer back of irrevocable dedication in the event they need it, and maybe that will satisfy them.
Great, good.
Those were all my suggestions, so I don't need to say anything.
How long is the lease for with the golf?
And it's a three-year lease right now.
So, and that was signed in 2020.
No, it was just redid because it was a year at a time. We just redid it in the fall, I think. Maybe effective October 1st.
Yeah. Any other questions? So I think the entire district is relying upon Dennis and Natalie to get this done.
Volunteer.
All right. Thank you. Thanks. You have direction. Is this be on an agenda or just we'll report back to the committee?
We'll report back at the next water property management.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And thank you, Dennis and Natalie,
for
doing that.
Thank you for Natalie for volunteering.
I don't remember volunteering, but I'm right there with you, Dennis.
Not only did you volunteer, you put her in front.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go to the next item, which is the April Highway.
Yes. Okay. This is informational item. The committee will recall that that staff had hired an engineering firm to provide information about the Imperial Highway property. They provided boundary lines. They provided grading plans, and they're working. They're working on a report that includes information that should the district decide to just talk to developers for that property, be a package of information for the developer. As part of that package, would include having met with Caltrans and discussing various access options. I've been trying to get a meeting with Caltrans for months to discuss this. And back in January, at Director Wigand's suggestion, I contacted two legislative offices and did get some action through Assemblyman Chen's office, who had put me in touch with a Caltrans legislative officer who seemed to have got District 12 moving on this, but still don't have a meeting. I got letters from Caltrans as a result of this, but no meeting. I did receive a letter from District 12 director saying that because Imperial Highway, because of the traffic that's on Imperial Highway, because of the number of cars, because of the complexity of the engineering project, that it wouldn't be feasible to provide any type of access from Imperial Highway to the property. I have asked again for a meeting to discuss this with Caltrans, and I've been told that they're working on trying to set something up. But again, I'm still nowhere with that project. In the meantime, unless the committee, there's an objection from the committee, my sense would be to have the engineering firm just wrap up the report without Caltrans access, because at this point, I don't seem to be getting anywhere with Caltrans on it. I brought this as informational, but I'm putting it out there in terms of the access issues and including that in the report. That concludes my
thank you, Bruce.
Report on that.
I have questions about the hold mind. Are there any questions for Bruce?
No. I just have a comment. I mean, I think I said it's just not going to happen, access off of Imperial. So does the if we wrap up this report, then does that allow our brokers to go out and basically look for another tenant that would have very minimal access, kind of like the nursery? Or, you know, I know that the Anaheim Police Department has shown interest in using it as a training facility.
Or the board could decide to solicit developers for that property, or look for alternative uses for the property. I mean, there could be various different approaches to that.
But it would be under the understanding that there's no access off of Imperial.
Correct.
Incorrect.
Well.
Incorrect?
Well, I'd just like to say, I think it's, you know, interesting that Anaheim is so ready to accept the fact that there's no access off Imperial Highway.
Oh, come on.
So
I haven't been down this road. We have worked with them to try to get access on the other side of the street forever.
We're not going to give up. We're not going to give up that quick. I think the private sector can probably do this. I mean, just that's my feeling of, you know, how long it takes government to build things and how long it takes the private sector to do it. So I think we can take that approach. I guess my question is,
you go right down the street to that Shell station and you ask them why they only have one driveway and it's on La Palma, because Caltrans won't give them a driveway on Imperial.
They didn't ask hard enough. They didn't. So
there should be an ARCO station across from that Shell station, but that's another story.
They couldn't get a driveway on Imperial either.
Where's Kurt when you need him? But have our consultants come up with a plan that they think gives safe access and sufficient access that our traffic engineer has reviewed and agrees with that,
We need to come up with our own plan. We have to have a plan.
We submitted the plans that we had discussed in the committee are the ideas are what the consultants have. And that's what's up.
We've got to take them to another level and say, our professional engineer says this is fine. Our traffic engineer, two traffic engineers say this is fine and meets whatever XYZ requirements there are. We need a plan. We can't just, I think we need more specificity and say that it is, we have a plan. It's a good plan. It's a safe plan. What's wrong? You know, I mean, we can't, because when we have nothing, there's nothing they can deflect and deflect till the cows come home. So I think we need a plan.
So Adam Streeter was hired to work with conceptual ideas, well, not specific plans. So that's really all that
in those conceptual plans, have those been presented to the committee? And
yes.
The ones that were a while ago,
no updates.
Maybe we should have an update,
and that's what I presented to Caltrans.
Okay,
a letter to Caltrans with, because they wanted it in writing, were those conceptual plans, and I think they were. I think I brought them to committee one or two meetings ago. There were conceptual plans, and they were included in a letter to the director at Caltrans.
Does our consultant have a preference for one or the other?
No, but we haven't discussed a preference because we wanted to talk to Caltrans.
Can we maybe? How do we, Dennis and Natalie? How do you suggest that we delineate this planning process to bring something forward?
I don't believe. That, I mean, one of the proposals that, you know, was a 12-lane traffic circle or something. And, you know, no one's going to buy off on that. I can't even believe some Streeter said that was a concept. There was a bridge across the river. Okay, that's just money, you know, and then an access point on the other side of the river. So if you want to put it out with that, that's fine. But I don't recall seeing another proposal or any proposal that provided access off of Imperial with the kind of capacity that you need for the on-ramp of the freeway. And you can have them spend more money because engineers are happy to spend more money, kind of flushing out some concepts that they have that I don't believe are going to get you anywhere. But if you want to bring those back again to the next meeting and have us, you know, just kind of refresh and take another look at them and say, gee, is any of these really worth throwing more money at? We can do that.
Steve?
Yes.
Under the Subdivision Map Act, we can't have a landlocked parcel, right? Force our neighbors to provide us access, right? I mean, you know more about this than I do. Maybe we got to look at it in that nature to kind of force our partners at the state and the city to the table to try to help us develop some sort of access.
It's also for what is the use on the property. We have access for one car to come and go every day. So it depends upon, you know, when we're overburdening, what should have been there, would have been there, or could have been there. So
we have access for maintenance.
You're right, generally. I think the people at Caltrans are really smart. And if someone up top says, try to find a solution, maybe we'll get a different spirit of working together.
And I think the solution lies in the use of the property across the street to the east and unifying that into an intersection into itself. That way Anaheim or someone else can have access to the other parcel, which I know that the city in the past had that desire, but was not successful.
Yeah.
Suggest,
and I think we've talked about scooching over the off ramp, lining things up.
That's one of the off.
Natalie, what's your thought on that? While we're just here on, if assuming we could scooch over the off ramp, and line up an entrance.
That the city was very interested in that site to the east for a long time for sports fields. And then the state passed regulations that you can't have sports fields within 500 feet of a freeway. And so then our interest waned. So that does not create the sports field site that we had once hoped it would. You know, but whether or not
Natalie, how do you feel
Caltrans
about
property, maybe they want to develop it, but they're not, they are more kind of retain their property for the fact that the 91 freeway is probably going to be widened again at some point. So, you know, they're going to be looking at those things too. They're not going to let you squish that on-ramp with the thought that maybe that on-ramp needs to move if the freeway needs to get widened or that interchange needs to get bigger or things like that.
Yeah. I didn't mean squish. I meant scooch. So scooch over.
We Two could completely improve, we different
could,
things.
But we could, it is, and we could improve the situation. You never know. We could make it better than what it is now and anticipate that's what developers do. They build roads that might not have been built with the tax base. So,
but right now, that on-ramp starts just about on the south side of the river. I mean, it's the end of the river.
No, I'm talking about the off-ramp. The off-ramp. The off-ramp.
Right. Okay.
Not the on-ramp. The off-ramp getting off to... I think there is a westbound on-ramp. Isn't there... When you're coming... I mean, you're coming the... When you're coming north on Imperial Highway, you turn right and you circle around to go westbound on the 91.
Right.
So right there, and there's also an off-ramp there to go north on Imperial Highway.
Yes.
Okay, so that could modifying the location of that a little bit.
You could modify the location of that a little bit, but, I mean, you would be pushing it north.
Scooching it.
Scooching it north. But
and then we line it up
with... Your big problem is on the other side of Imperial, where our property, where the water district property is, that is the on-ramp that is from southbound Imperial to westbound 91. The on-ramp starts right after the river. And so, and it's a two-lane on-ramp, and there's a lot of cars. So I'm not sure how much opportunity you have to fit an intersection between that on-ramp and the river. Right now you have none because they're next to each other. But you want to like be able to fit an intersection in there before that on-ramp starts.
Yeah. It will probably not fly because the minimum distance is 300 feet. That's by the design manual. Last time I witnessed something that took place, it took a CTC commissioner strong influence to get a signalized intersection installed within 300 feet of a freeway on ramp.
So if you're at South Coast Plaza, Bloomingdale's area, and you're going up the parking lot to get on Bristol to make a right, that's a signalized light there, yeah. And you make a right, and then you go 200 feet and you get on the 405 south. So there are exceptions that work. And I think we just have to get creative and look at what we can do. Because that's a tight intersection. And I'm sure when they're busy, it's packed, but that intersection works. And it's certainly less than 300 feet from the on-ramp to the 405 south.
And that's a clover. That's a clover, right? That's a
the on-ramp,
a southbound on-ramp.
Yes,
right. So it's not a long,
correct,
like at Imperial,
but,
right? Yeah,
but it's queuing, right. And it's this and that, and those are the issues of queuing a lot, I think, and with having backup,
right?
But that's what we need to peel back and show, and then you know what are the peak hours? Is it is it heavier? What the flow is it? Which way it's going on Imperial Highway at night? Is it coming home to Anaheim Hills? Is it equal to coming home to Imperial Highway, to Yorba Linda? Those are the things that we can study and see to try to make it work. We've got a lot of land there. And I think we should can create a traffic engineer and peel it back a little more, not walk away.
Okay.
I'll discuss it with Adam Streeter. I don't know that they're actual traffic engineers, but I'll discuss what they can do.
So we should have civil engineers doing this?
They're civil. Well,
I'm joking.
Right now, yeah, civil engineers.
Sorry.
These technical terms, I had to look up the definition of scooch to make sure.
It's an acronym.
It's to crouch or squat, yeah, is one, but the second one is to move in or pass through a restricted space. Waiters kept trying to scooch one.
Slightly, yeah. It's a polite term of move over.
Make sure we get that in the minutes.
Yeah. Yes. When you're at a ball game, you have somebody, to scooch over a little bit. You don't say move over. So, all right. Okay. Well, then we'll get some, bring it back, and we'll get some more detail on it. I mean, I think it's worth pursuing a little more. I don't think we've really taken it to the end. Okay.
Keep working on it.
Yep. Okay. We'll move on to our next item, which is the
status update on the Anaheim's OC Riverwalk.
Awesome.
The Riverwalk.
That's the Orange County Water District
recreation area.
That's it. Yes. That's it. Thank you.
Just wanted to update the committee on this. Coming to the board in closed session a few times, staff at the board's direction sent a draft of agreement back to the city or a response to the city. We recently contacted JFA at the city, asking the status. We're waiting for them. And I think at this point, we're still waiting for the city of Anaheim to respond. And I think, John, you spoke to JJ this week and maybe give us a brief what he said.
And we probably could just invite him to the next meeting. But he generally said that our latest round of comments got into a level of detail that the city's not quite ready to negotiate. And so they're kind of not sure how to respond. And I know they're negotiating with lots of other agencies, with the Corps, the County Flood Control, the city, the developer. And he just said they're not ready to get back to us with that level of detail that we gave in our latest round of comments. But we can have him come in next month if the committee would like, and hear directly from him.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, I hear something else, but I'm not going to say what I hear. So,
at the least, it sounds like the timetable is going to get stretched.
Oh, for sure. It's a multi-year project.
Okay. Well, there's a phasing issue, too. And that is kind of what's going to happen when, how's it going to come to your sequence. There's just a lot there.
Thank you.
Good.
John, can I make one comment on this?
They're calling. Yes, of course.
Just to give a little insight, I think that the agencies, the Anaheim and the Water District, need to kind of philosophically understand if this is a partnership project or if this is a Anaheim request and what this would mean to other similar requests up and down the river, because I think it's a great project. I mean, I think beautifying the river, connecting people to it throughout the county, you know, it's a great concept to move forward. Yes, Anaheim is moving forward first, but you know, Santa Ana may want one, Yorba Linda, who else, downstream, you know, any city that touches the river may want to engage in this type of use or beautification or, you know, local connection. So does the water district want to be a partner in seeing things like that happen along the river, along with, you know, county flood and flood control and everybody else that has those rights along the river? Or is this a Anaheim standalone initiative that the other ones will just be either, the other agencies will just be either saying yes or no? Does that make sense?
That's a great value. Director Meeks, you're saying other cities may want to have similar facilities in the river?
Yeah, I mean, Valerie has said this is great. You know, Santa Ana needs one, and I assume other people may want those, you know, those same facilities or beautification projects along their cities.
Yeah, staff will have to think about that. The reason why Anaheim's could work is because it's at the very end of the recharge system. And so it doesn't have a big impact to our recharge operations. But if we were to try to do this further up the river, I'm not sure it could work. But staff would need to think about that.
Okay.
So I don't want to create a precedent where we may have other cities want to have similar facilities. We'll have to be careful that way. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. I've heard Valerie say a couple of times that, that's something she wants to look at in Santa Ana as this moves forward. So it's something for maybe John for you to look at and understand what those answers are.
Good. Thank you. We'll go to any other questions? Okay, then we'll go to the Prado shooting area.
Yes, and Lisa Haney's here, and Lisa will give a presentation update on the chat, and they share the presentation here.
The let out.
All right. And Lisa, I'll just say next and I'll go to this.
You're up.
Great. Thank you for having me. We're happy to come back and give another update on this project. Next. Thank you. As the committee may remember, we came back and had movement forward with DTSC. We had approval to consolidate the two sites into one and form a CAMU. So we have moved forward with that, and then I'd like to go over our progress so far since that approval next. What we have accomplished since then is the CEQA project description and project schedule, which is required to DTSC for approval and review. They are expected to give us their comments by early April. Once we have their review, we can start with the CEQA technical studies, which are required for this kind of work. Additionally, we are fine-tuning the remedial action plan, which is, you know, the steps on how we will exactly do the remediation effort. And as we try to coordinate with the Army Corps of Engineers for exclusivity access to the roadways to complete this project, we have learned that they also have lessees on their property. And one of those lessees is the Flyway Foundation. So that means we have to also coordinate and get approval from them for road access and exclusivity as well. And we did meet with them a few weeks ago. They are very supportive of the effort that we're trying to do. And we are just trying to make sure we understand all of their operations and include that into our scheduling for consideration. AECOM is our consultant who is helping us do the remedial action plan. They have incurred a lot of extra costs because of the delays. And there were some things that weren't included in the original scope of work and budget. So we've had to add those to the new scope of work, which include updated rate structure for them, the exclusivity tech memo. They're the ones who actually found prior applications that Jeremy was able to use and help us justify moving forward. So that effort was critical to us doing this project. Permitting was not included in the original scope for some reason, and the engineering design. So we're adding that. And we'll bring all of those details to the committee for review. Next slide. So you might be asking and wondering, like I am, where are we with the temporary exclusivity agreement with Army Corps of Engineers? If you know anything, working with Army Corps of Engineers is complicated and slow. And what is required is a multi-department analysis of whether or not we can use their road access. So it has to go through environmental. They are looking at cultural restrictions. It's being used in a new way, new area. Are there any cultural damages or citations associated with that? We're experiencing that as well with the Bureau project. So it's a very similar process. It has to go through legal and real estate. And we've already talked to operations and they've given us approval. One of the issues here is that anytime you involve the Army Corps of Engineers, they are a federal agency. So although we are doing CEQA, they are required to do NEPA. And we're trying to figure out, or they are trying to figure out, if they need to do NEPA just for a road access agreement, or if they now have to include our entire project as their area of NEPA. And we don't think so, but it's their legal department that gets to make that decision, Jeremy.
So, it doesn't make sense.
Okay, next slide. The timelines. You know, this has been a long effort. I kind of came in, you know, at the DTSC point. We are still working as if we are going to make a 2025 August timeframe for construction, but that really is dependent on the exclusivity agreement, and we don't know how long it's going to take Army Corps to go through their process. We've already been in process for 3 months without much of an update, and we check in every week, so they have a lot on their plate. We also would have to get CEQA or possibly NEPA done, you know, within this year to mobilize for next year. And all of that needs to be done before it goes out for public review, which is a required DTSC process. So if we can't make those things happen within this time frame of this year, everything's going to have to slide. And then we're going to have to talk about Army Corps' construction schedule for projects in the same area and see if there is any overlap or, you know, issues with exclusivity and timing if this shifts. This is not a required project. There is no immediate regulatory need to complete this. So we can keep letting it slide until we find an open window if we can't make this one, or we can think about future options. Next slide. So here are our challenges that we are continuing to work through. I just mentioned the exclusivity and the timing on that. That may shift. We also have identified two crossings that would be needed for the haul route at Mill Creek and the Santa Ana River that would need to be constructed. They would be temporary crossings. We would only put them in for the time of construction and then remove them. That in itself would require a lengthy environmental permitting process. We could start that now and I think achieve that in time for the project next year. I'm not so worried about that, but that is one thing that we would need to start working on. And then, you know, just the hauling routes and constraints from the other lessees on the property and just making sure we fit into everyone's operational windows. Because we have hunting season, nesting season, dove season, duck season. There's just a lot of constraints in the area. But these are, you know, these are fun challenges for a project in this area. And I think that is my last slide. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Maybe not a question, but you would think that most of these entities would be supportive of cleanup of lead in the environment there for the most part. I understand the Flyway Foundation would rather have clay pigeon shot rather than migratory waterfowl. But yeah, you would think in the current climate that they would understand the need for the cleanup and maybe be supportive.
Everyone is supportive. Everyone is supportive. They are just asking if we're going to do exclusivity, which means they can't even come onto their site or use their own property. We want to not impact them as much as possible. So we're just trying to figure out the best way to do that. But they are very supportive of us.
I guess there was a question there because I was wondering how supportive they've been really.
Yeah, no, they've been. Everyone has been supportive. It's more logistics.
Yeah, the exclusivity, that was really, that was a way to get DTSC comfortable with being able to use the CAMO approach we wanted to do. And so that's, that was the linchpin to it. But then you have to negotiate with the court in order to be able to accomplish.
Any other questions? Well, I have a couple. What do you think is our path to permitting and getting it going? What are the main things that are blocking it? Is it the
For permitting, I don't think there is a block for environmental permitting.
Any kind of permitting through the is it the Corps and their leases? Is it the Corps reviewing our documents or what? What's the main big
damage? It's the Corps and it going through all the different departments for review. That's our biggest.
Well, does the Corps have to do their own independent initial environmental review to confirm for themselves that this is that, or are they doing their own initial study at a NEPA level?
Well, they're first trying to determine if there is a NEPA level. So that's
right.
That's step one. And cultural. They are concerned about the cultural. I haven't heard any environmental concern.
I kind of put those under the environmental because cultural is part of the CEQA checklist. That's why I kind of put it all there. But is there anything we can do for them to get their job done quicker?
I have asked that question every week.
And they won't let us do any of these things for them?
No. I have asked for support, though.
Do they do it in-house, or how do they do these studies?
They're not studies. They're just reviews. They have to look at the project description and make a determination. So there's no study.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, there's no study. It's just a review, a project review and decision.
So yeah, it's a huge hang up at the Corps getting them to just review plans.
Yeah.
Huge hang up.
It is. I agree.
Have you asked Mark Boyd for any tips?
I have been going to John and asking how he would like proceed. Yeah.
We've used a consultant. What is her name?
What is her name?
I'm blanking.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Do you remember her name?
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Never
the consultant been. We used? With AECOM?
No, the no. Army Corps. She used to be
in the Corps. She'd be a senior... staff, senior person there in charge of these sort of matters.
John sent me her.
I have it.
Her information. I'm just.
She's really good. Give her a call and see if she can help us. She'll tell you if she can or not.
Okay.
Let's maybe she can. Okay. If she get it done. You know.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
Okay, bring us back if we need to authorize that or John do it.
Okay, I'll get it.
I mean, if it's below 20, John can do it. I think she could help. Open it up. But let's say we can't. But what was the extra cost to not just to haul it to Arizona or Kern County? I know we were avoiding all that. What was it? It was like $1 million, $5 million. What was the extra cost to do that? Recall that?
It was millions.
I know.
Yeah, it was.
$2 million or $8 million?
It jumps order magnitude, 10 million plus.
Was that much more? Are you sure? I don't remember.
It had to go to Nevada. But I can't remember the exact number. It's been a while since I went to the feasibility study. But, I think there's another cheaper alternative than hauling it off-site. That would be we don't consolidate at Pigeon Hill. We just do some fill on top of Pigeon Hill. And then we do the CAMU at the former clay target range, but we're going to lose about an acre for that Camu on the, you know, so we, that would have to be, you
that's,
know.
That's not a, an acre out of 10 or 20 acres?
Out of, yeah, about 24 developable acres.
And that's not a bad.
And then you don't have to haul. You know, you avoid all the river stream crossing, all that permitting, all the, you get rid of the exclusivity. So if you wanted to speed things up, that would be the way to go. You'd also save some money. But
we have built an alternative plan, but we didn't come today to present on that because we're not looking for board action. We're just doing an information update. If you would like us to come back with those prepared slides on alternatives.
We heard it right now. We're like those right now.
Okay. But we can come back with a more detailed alternative.
But I mean, so that seems to be, we might as well. Yeah.
Because you can do remediation in two locations, right? You could do a Camu at each location. That is one alternative.
And we probably wouldn't even need a Camu at Pigeon Hill because if it's just going to be used for open space, we just put clean fill on top of the lead shot. You don't even need the Camu, I call it a burrito, you know, that contaminates soil. But you definitely need one at former clay target range.
How far would that be from the hubs?
We probably try and get it. I think that's where we'd want to work with somebody who might look at, like a developer who would say, okay, you know, where would be a good place to put it? And what you're going to want to do is, you know, that would become pickleball courts,
right,
or tennis courts, because you're going to put, you know, you want, yeah, so you put paper.
People can't recreate on it.
Right.
Oh, okay. That's even okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, can, DTSC, would they regulate? I mean, is there like an ongoing management, like an ongoing, like a method?
Monitoring
monitoring program of that?
Right. Including groundwater monitoring wells, up gradient, down gradient. So, yeah, there's long term. The part of the long term O&M is to make sure that it doesn't get disturbed. And then also groundwater bomb.
That seems to be okay.
So we're going to relook at that.
We should have to come back. I think our staff has done a gallant job, and it's been great. But it's just, you know, there's, you know, this is a different path. Why not?
Lisa and I talked about the same thing a couple of days ago.
Right.
Maybe we should relook at that option. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, before we spend a lot more money going through the process,
when would we be able to execute it? The other one?
To keep the contamination on the sites.
What do you want to call that? So I know let's all call it the same thing. What do you want to call that? The on-site plan?
Remediation in place.
Thank you.
Remediation
in place.
Okay.
Yeah.
RIP. Yeah. RIP. Oh, yeah, the RIP plan. Okay. So the RIP plan.
I think 2025 now is very doable. With the hall, I think with all the agencies involved and all the environmental reviews and permitting, it's one of those snowballs, chance in hell of that happening in 2025.
And what you got me on is, I agree with all that, is now we've got nesting season and the hunting season and this season.
That's
you know, permitted, you got to stop every 2 months.
By the way, if you don't haul, you open that window up quite a bit. You still have nesting season, but where you're working above the flood level, right, you don't have to worry about the flood season.
Yeah.
And we're not crossing, you know, flyway leased property. We don't have to worry about hunting season.
Yeah. It makes it much faster.
Duck and duck, both.
If we do it in place.
Okay. Let's bring it back next month. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's good. You guys, everyone's, you know, all done a great job on that, solving these problems. I think the seasons is what got me.
It's like a damn Rubik's Cube when you try to work
there. I mean, you get all permitted, but then Great. We have just the minutes, an item on the consent, the Villa Park, be on the consent for the board meeting. Are there any other items? Any other director comments before we move on to any other comments about the agenda? Hearing none. So now we have director comments and reports.
Director comments, reports. General manager's reports.
Nothing.
Mr. General manager.
Nothing.
We're adjourned.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Exactly.